It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, folks, hello. Happy New Year. Happy post-holidays. And welcome to the Ryan Goodman along with Tangway Zoom Pod. I just want to let you know off the top that portions of the show are brought to you by Calm. Did you know that LeBron James, the reason why he's King James is because it's his sleep? That's right. Sleep is superpower. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you activate the power of sleep. LeBron's sleep is a critical part of his mental fitness routine. So if you head to calm.com/scribe for a limited time, you get 40% off of a Calm premium subscription. Again, for a limited time, go to calm.com/scribe. Get started at calm.com/scribe, calm.com/scribe. And I see commercials with LeBron in them now, you know, with the rain falling and all that. So the king buys it. Okay, guys, we didn't get in this business to talk about pandemics, but it's unavoidable, Jeff. I mean, right now, I don't know what to think. I don't know how we measure teams. I don't know how we stay fans. How do we handle this?
It's hard right now, and obviously every league and every level is handling it differently. As bad as it is in the NBA right now, it's worse in college basketball. It's worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because at least in the NBA, I guess, I mean, they're playing through it for the most part, not with great players, right?
No, like, I mean, Atlanta's missed 10 guys. Celtics missed a bunch. I mean, people are dropping like flies.
I think now on the opening day roster for the Celtics, I counted it up. 11 of the 15 players have been on the COVID list so far. So that's the good news. The good news is if you can't get it again, which we don't know the answer to that yet with this strain, if you can't, the Celtics are done with it for the most part with their key players already having it. With college, it's a lot different right now because they're testing coming back. The kids went home for Christmas break. They come back about 40% or so are testing their entire team. And frankly, almost every team, somebody's going to have it at this point, coming back from Christmas break with their families or whatnot. And then they pretty much shut it down. The teams that aren't testing, which is like the entire Big 12 and everybody in the Midwest and the South, they keep moving on if they can. So the NBA, I feel bad for the fans because, you know, some fans are flying places with their kids, shelling out a lot of money, and they're watching a team, for instance, in Minnesota last night with Nathan Knight playing 29 minutes and Jordan McLaughlin playing 32 and Malik Beasley playing 39. And there's no sign of Karl-Anthony Towns or D'Angelo Russell or Anthony Edwards. And, you know, I feel like they should be offering these owners. It's a joke right now. They should be giving a portion of the money back to these fans for the heist that is going on right now with the NBA. And not just the NBA.
Yeah, if only, you know, that will never happen. No, but with the one thing that Gary said that, you know, is paramount is we can't judge anybody. Right. We can't judge anything. We can't judge the NBA. We can't judge NFL. We can't judge, you know, the NHL. We can't judge anything. And so, you know, everything must be taken on a face value thing that night and no more. You know, when the game's over, you know, you don't know. I mean, projecting down the road and all that, you know, impossible. You know, it's so, and you're right. It's so right about the paying customer thing. But there's no, you know, what a fantasy world we'd be living in if we ever thought the owners would actually, seriously, would ever say, oh, yeah, you know, we can't keep charging people the same thing. Oh, God, you know, no,
Isn't it like scabs? Doesn't it remind you of like scabs and replacement players at this point?
Well, yeah, except they're not doing it. These guys aren't crossing lines or doing right. anything wrong.
I mean, when Joe Johnson comes out of the 3-on-3 league, you know.
Joe Johnson, here's where I was, just to put Joe Johnson in perspective, okay? Here's where I was when I heard about the trade of rookie Joe Johnson, 48 games into his rookie season, for Rodney Rogers and Tony Delk. And by the way, in the short run, it was a good trade. In the short run.
They got to
the conference finals.
Yes.
It was a shock, all right? Yeah. Okay. In the long run, it wasn't exactly Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell, but it was in the next level. Okay. Now, I was in the press room in the Salt Lake City Olympics. That just put that in perspective, folks. That's where I was when Joe Johnson was a rookie traded. And here we are, how many Olympiads later? 97 and 06, 10, 14, 18, right on.
Mitt Romney has run for president twice and been a governor.
So that's where I was when I heard about the trade.
amazing. So I wonder now, from a coaching perspective, if I'm coaching, whenever I get my roster back, say for some reason you get lucky, say I got 4 of my 5 starters back, I'm playing to win. It's like, okay, I got my guys back. I got to take it like in 5-game chunks, right, Bob? It's like, I got to go now. Okay, everybody's here. Every game matters. We're playing every game like it's game 7.
I got to get as many Ws as I can, obviously, yes. Yeah. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting, the whole psychology of that aspect of it, yeah. But it's so unimaginable. We thought a year ago, anyone ever told us that old if anyone ever told you thing, if anyone ever told you a year down the road we'd be facing even more devastation of lineups and games being canceled and postponed. And, we wouldn't believe it. We figured we'd be, and by the way, that there was a vaccine.
Bob, should they?
And if there was a vaccine.
Bob, the big question, you're old school here.
Yeah.
Should these, whether it's college players, whether it's NBA players, be allowed to play right now if they've had the vaccine, they've had the booster, and they're not showing symptoms?
If they've done all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the converse is what I'm more interested in. And people have raised the question, with Kyrie. Okay, Kyrie, he can't play in Brooklyn and he can't play in Madison Square Garden. But are we sure that all the players who are coming in to play them are legit, are appropriate? I'll just put it that way. We don't even know. I don't know.
The NFL lying.
I don't know how that works. Yeah, well, then don't. I don't want to spoil my entire two days in a row thinking about Antonio Brown. So let's not do that. But
if you've done the right thing to me and you're not showing symptoms, you should be allowed to go out there and play. That's the only way we're going to get through this.
Right. I agree with you.
That makes sense.
I mean, Jeff, that's happening here. I mean, my son, they had a positive case on his high school team. So they shut down the game last Thursday, right? So, and they were off for Christmas break. He gets tested every week at school.
Yeah.
And I just took him and got a test real quick, So they're saying right now, if you don't have symptoms and you're vaccinated, you can practice. I mean, and, he's been vaccinated. He doesn't have symptoms. And he gets tested weekly. I mean,
that's just common sense to me.
What else are you going to do?
You have to move the goalposts now based on the information that's kind of come to us. And obviously, knock on wood, we haven't had any issues where we've seen of any athlete in any sport, really, through this new strain being, anything major happening.
Right. I mean, generally, if you're vaccinated, I mean, what we've seen is what you're saying is if you're vaccinated and you're young, you're good. You're going to have a cold.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It may be a headache. It may be, whatever it is. The crazy part in college, guys, is what's happening is the athletic trainers have been telling these kids for a year plus, if you've got any symptoms, tell me. Well, now these kids have been conditioned to tell them. So they've got a cold, they've got a headache, whatever, and they go to them. And then it's obviously the athletic trainer's job.
Right.
To then say, all right, we need to test you. And obviously the rate is out of control. Although I had one coach tell me this morning, he was like, we tested coming back from Christmas break. believe it or not, we went 17 for 17 negative.
Yeah.
And I said, that's like hitting the damn lottery.
Well, I think what you have to do, I mean, for the college ranks, it seems, Jeff, is you almost have to run rapids every day. You know, like, for example, I mean, and we're going to talk about my film, Don't Look Up, coming up. But when we were on that movie set, and on that movie set, you get tested twice a day. Okay. Yeah. And you get tested when you showed up, you get tested halfway through. So you got tested like twice a day with like rapid tests. Then they did a 2-day test. So college basketball,
they got the money. Huh? But yeah, Jackson State can't do that.
Well, yeah, but this is where the NCAA or the NBA, however, to Bob's point that they're not giving back the money. I mean, what is the NCAA contract worth, Jeff? $1 billion? So the NCAA says we are paying for rapid testing daily, daily. And the NBA should do the same thing. You show up, you get tested, boom. And then if you don't have symptoms, then that's the way to do it. That's the only way you can do it. And I know it's expensive, but they can do it. They can afford it.
There were 30 games scheduled today in Division I. We're already down, I think, to about 10.
Yeah, the NCAA, if they, I mean, we all know they have a ton of, they're frauds. But, I mean, they should be paying for rapid testing every day.
Even if it's 3 times a week. I'm fine with that. You want to go 3 times a week. And we know Duke can afford it, Kentucky, Kansas. They don't even need the NCAA's help. But some of those smaller schools,
sure,
they do need it. They do need it. They can't afford to do testing more than maybe once a week. So if I'm the NCAA and I want, but they don't care. All they care about is the NCAA tournament. That's all they give a shit about, right? Because that's where their money comes from. So they don't care if a game is played from now until March. They've already got all these non-conference games. They'll play the tournament anyway and take and get the money.
Speaking of which, I was going to ask you, as you understand it, everyone in agreement or in some kind of a tacit agreement that some teams are going to wind up playing 20 games, some teams are going to wind up playing 17 games, some teams are going to wind up playing 28 games, and when it comes time for the committee to get together. What? They're just going to have to be arbitrary and make these site judgments, right? That,
just like, I mean, last year.
There's no hope. It's too late already. And they're not going to be able to play, reschedule all these games.
No, unless they move. To me, what they should have done, and nobody saw this coming, so it's hard to hammer everybody. But if you want to move some of those like one-bid league tournaments back a week, Bob, you could push them back 1 week now, remember, and say, hey, we're not going to be on TV. We're not getting our championship game on CBS Sports Network, but we want to make sure we get in extra games.
No America East, 11 a.m. Saturday final.
But what would you rather have? A fair America East where everybody plays everybody twice, or you're seeing that 11 a.m. game on CBS Sports Network and it's bringing in, I don't even know how much that's worth on a TV contract. Can't be that much.
I'm only kidding because, you know, but that is their slot.
Right.
And 11 a.m. on Saturday.
I just, in some of these teams, guys, they can play. You can play 3 games a week. The Ivy League plays back-to-back nights, by the way, on Fridays and Saturdays, in case nobody's heard that. So you can play a back-to-back at home. There's nothing saying you can't, on a Friday and Saturday night, play 2 games at home. You can fit a third game in on a week if you need to. This stuff can be done. But, all right, let's get back to the NBA. And you're right, Gary. Like, the one thing both you said is you're not dealing with apples to apples here because, you know, Golden State, they've been pretty – last I checked, Steph's been okay. Well,
yeah,
you know, to me, you look at some of these other teams like the Celtics, they've had – the Bulls have had major COVID problems. They're still 21-10 and right behind the Nets. So you're dealing with so many different scenarios right now. I'm just hoping in a month, number one, hopefully – everything kind of goes back and the numbers start to decrease a little bit. Or number two, everybody in the NBA has had it at that point. Everybody's had it and for the most part, and we can kind of move on and maybe there's a straggler here and there, but for the most part, we're done with it.
It's a good theory. I really hadn't thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense to me.
I mean, we're done with the bubble, right? We won't do a bubble again.
I don't think so.
No,
I'd be shocked. I think the NCAA tournament, I think the tournament could be in a bubble if they're still dealing with this come March, because again, they got to protect their investment. They can't have that blow up and it's worth it to them. The money that they've already done it once in Indianapolis, they could do it again for 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah. And they still get the cash. No, you're right about that. Okay. Bob wants to preach on Memphis.
Well, yes. I want to want to give them a Ryan Goodman Tanguay a salute. They did something last night. They beat the Suns, and that means they are the only team in the league who have beaten the Warriors and the Suns. Now, the Warriors one was on October 28th, and it was overtime. And last night was 1-point game on a Ja Morant, you know, just invention. It was a runner. He had to go back here. He was off the glass. It was on the other side of the basket. It was what great players can do, you know, and all by himself after a 3-pointer would put the Suns ahead. Anyway, this team is playing. They've won a lot of games without him. He's missing at least a dozen games. And I was looking at their roster quickly, guys. And for people who don't know, the second leading scorer is Dylan Brooks. Yep. And the third
he's
leading scorer
right
is,
now.
Is Desmond Bane, who is averaging 17 points a game.
Of course.
Jaren Jackson Jr. They've got good balance there. You know, after Moran, they got 19, 17, 16. And then, of course, there's everybody's favorite New Zealand, you know, New Zealander, Stephen Adams, and beating up people in the low post. And anyway, you know, I got to give – and the other thing, coached by Taylor Jenkins, who is one of the many NBA coaches, that probably in double digits, that could walk down any street in America and nobody knows who he is. I mean, I feel there like are so many anonymous coaches in the NBA.
You, Jeff's right. You could take this roster other than Ja Morant and Adams and walk down the street and you wouldn't know.
So I'm giving it. So something as good is going on. If it is it Taylor, from what you know.
You know what it is? What part of it is? I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Number one, Ja Morant is a superstar.
Yeah.
Number one, he's a superstar. Number two, they've got high character players like Dylan Brooks. Desmond Bane might be. We'll try to get him on. He might be as good of an interview as I've ever talked to. Ever. Woof. He is awesome.
We got some good ones.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Jaren Jackson, high character. And all these guys are high character. Kyle Anderson, high character. Brandon Clark, high character. Tyus Jones, high character. Stephen Adams, high character. Xavier Tillman. I'm going to keep going down the line. And you know what else? They all know how to play. They're all high character, high IQ players, and they accept their roles, and they're like and they're guys that didn't have their ass kissed throughout their careers. Ja Morant was never told how good he was at 16, 17, 18 years old. None of these guys. Dylan Brooks, I remember seeing Dylan Brooks his junior year at the PGM down in Augusta, and at that point Dayton was recruiting him, and they weren't even sure he was good enough to play at Dayton at that point. And he ended up going to Oregon, blowing up a little bit. But, Brandon Clark started his career at San Jose State, transferred to Gonzaga. I mean, this group is fun because they're kind of what you root for. That's what they are, the players.
They're kind of what you hope you can find to root for. You know, the kind of team I always say you want to point to your kid, you know, this is a worthy group, you know. Because I do believe in that the morality clause, the morality factor should factor into rooting, frankly, you know? I mean, and I don't want to root for clowns. I don't want to root for shitheads, you know?
Right.
And if I don't have to, I don't want to, you know? And that's nice to hear. I knew you'd know, Jeff. That's why I wanted to throw this out there. Because they're a fascinating story to me, and they're not getting any ink for it. You know, the same olds on the networks, and I want people to know that there's something good going on there in Memphis. I have one little nitpick with them I've had since they moved is they should have ditched a nickname and gotten one a little bit more appropriate to, especially, you know, hey, get a music one, do something, you know. But
I mean, Memphis is a great town, great food, great music.
For God's sake, you know, but then again, it's not the most incongruous nickname. The New Orleans Jazz, the Utah Jazz long ago retired that trophy when they moved from New Orleans. So that's
hey, how lucky are the Memphis Grizzlies that they got Ja Morant instead of Zion? Like, think about that whole deal.
Oh,
right
I know.
Now.
Yep.
Right now, New Orleans is bottoming out because Zion, you know, and again, I've said this to you guys, I think before, like, you're not going to find a better, I feel so bad for Zion. Because he is an unbelievable kid. And I hope he's healthy, but I worried about this all throughout college and AAU that he was carrying too much weight.
Yeah.
And the way he plays and the
kind of like Oden and Durant all over again.
It's sad. It's sad. It's just, but Ja, listen, it's right now, it's not even debatable. Like Ja Morant, I'm not sure there's five players. If you're starting a franchise today, if you're starting a franchise, Bob, give me the players you would take over Ja Morant today.
Oh yeah, not too many. Yeah.
Who? Give me Luka.
Luka and Jokic, I'm thinking of it. How do I have to think about?
Well, here's the difference. You want to start it with a point guard. To me, I would rather start it with a point guard than any other position. And to me, well, you could even make the case. You could make the case that Ja Morant would be the number one pick potentially. If you were saying, I'm gonna have this guy for his career. I'm gonna take this dude and build around him.
But you see a clear difference between Ja Morant and Trae Young, as you're saying.
Oh, I do. I do.
I also think athletic. You know, it goes
what
back
can't
to what
Ja do. Ja can guard. He makes people better. He can shoot it. He's super athletic. Guys love playing with him. I don't think there's any knock on Ja. Like Trae Young is probably, well, I don't want to say more fun to watch because Ja's a human highlight film. But Trae can shoot it from 40 feet. But he shoots 34, 35% from three. I don't know. I feel like players like playing with Ja more than they like playing with Trae.
I think Trae Young is a poor man's Ja Morant.
Yeah,
you know, I just think Morant's, you know, I saw him playing college, you know, I just thought of maybe as a lankier Iverson and just, you know, one of those guys that when he gets on the floor, and I think this is why his teammates love him, he doesn't care if he's going against Kevin Durant, right. He doesn't care if he's going against Kevin Stakem, he is going to scratch your eyes out.
Tough kid. Yeah.
Tough kid. But as you said, good kid, chip on his shoulder.
Yes.
You know?
Great kid. Great.
Oh, I mean, but I'm with you guys.
Saying, like, I don't know if there's anybody I take over. I mean, again, because you're talking, you know, I've said Jason Tatum. I just would rather have a guy that I know I could put the ball in his hands.
Oh, my God.
And he's going to make a play. And we can get to Tatum. We'll get to Tatum. I'm still the card-carrying president of the Jason Tatum fan club. I haven't lost that. But, yes, Ja Morant, to me, because of the position he plays and because he can get his shot off whenever he wants in a variety of ways.
As he proved last night.
Yes.
The whole world knew it was going to have it.
Yep. We'll get to Tatum in our Celtics segment, which you can check out at CLNS coming up. Bet Online has you covered with all season, I should say, with more props, odds, and lines than never before. Football season headed to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for the sports action this week. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today and receive 50% off a welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code at CLNS50 to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Again, get a deal, folks. Promo code CLNS50 to receive your bonus.
Guys, okay, I got one, please. You guys know I'm a box score freak. I love the minutiae.
What do you got?
Well, I think it's possible we had an unofficial record set two nights ago.
Really?
I mean, it's in the 75-year history of the league. And it couldn't have happened any other year. The San Antonio Spurs beat the Pistons 144-109. That's not the reason. 144. There were two 144-point games in the same night. You know that, right? Did you know that?
I did not.
In so doing, 14 different people scored for the Spurs.
Really? 14?
14 different people. Number one, I was unaware you could suit up 15 this year.
Or play 14.
And nobody played more than 25 minutes. In the game, nobody. Pop, this is Pop having his biggest laugh of the year, but nobody played more than 25 minutes. 14 different people scored a point. Now, you know that's got to be an all-time record, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. My boy,
you got to go to Elias. Elias, and they'll confirm it. I'll do that this week before next week.
No. Elias, hey Jeff, Elias is going to send a note to Bob confirming it.
That's crazy. Well, I'm looking at this box score right now. This is insanity that you're allowed to have 14 active players in a game.
I didn't know you. I thought you could still 13. Only have 12.
Hey, you're lucky. You're lucky. You have 14 active players.
14 what? Guys score, gentlemen, in an NBA game. Now, I got to doubt that that's ever happened in the 75-year history of the league.
Okay, guys, as we wrap it up, I'm going to say that there is a series coming out on HBO Max this March, and Adam McKay is the executive producer. And it's based on the 1980 Lakers. It's the Lakers show. So I think it's 10 episodes, and it's just going to be how the Lakers were built in the 80s. Okay.
Perlman's book, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to get in touch with Adam. We're going to try to get him on the podcast because I know this, that right now everybody wants to be seen with Adam McKay, but Adam McKay will want to be seen with Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman because Jeff saw, and I'm not lying, because Jeff saw the movie Don't Look Up. It's on Bob's list. I was very lucky to be a part of it. So I'm on the set with Adam, and he goes, "You're a sports guy." I go, "Well, yeah, you know, I did the Celtics, you know, pre and post game show, right?" Blah, blah, blah. And we just started talking. This guy watches 4 NBA games a day. I don't know where he finds the time. He is a huge hoop head. I mean, you know, the Detroit Pistons have a relationship with FunnyOrDie.com. I mean, we were on the set, and he said to me, "What's going on with the Pacers?" This is when the Pacers were trying to make a deal with the Celtics, and and it just didn't go down. And we start, and then the assistant director said to him, "Adam, we got to get going." He said, "Hey, stop it! I'm talking basketball with Gary for a minute." I kid you not.
Wait, all right. I want to know before we get there. Right, you're in Don't Look Up, and I just saw it. My daughter is on a movie kick right now, so I forgot you were in it. I know you had told me, but I totally forgot. All of a sudden, I'm watching it, and I yelled to my wife and daughter, I'm like, it's Tangway. Like you're not just in it. Like, you've got, like, a legitimate reoccurring part in this movie. How did you get in this movie?
Well, I always audition. I love to act, and kind of it's what I'm doing now. I mean, as crazy it sounds, I have a manager. I've been auditioning for stuff. I always wanted to be an actor. So while in town as playing a newscaster, I got my SAG card. So now I've been auditioning for detectives and congressmen and, you know, this and that. But I always get the newscaster role. So, you know, by playing the newscaster, I've worked with Rosamund Pike in I Care a Lot. She won a Golden Globe. I did the final scene with her. She was wonderful. I was in Knives Out, right? And with Rian Johnson and Ana de Armas, hung out with them. They were great. And then with Adam McKay on Don't Look Up, I mean, it was fantastic. And I actually shot 2 more scenes that didn't make the movie.
Really?
I had a scene with Rob Morgan, who's a great actor. And it just, you know, didn't make the movie. And
the cast of this movie.
Oh, the cast is incredible. I mean, I didn't see anybody. When I was there, I guess Chiklis was there in the morning, and I guess Meryl Streep was there in the morning. But when I was there, we didn't have any of that stuff. And I just
shot. Because of COVID? Do you think because of COVID too?
COVID, the restrictions were really tight. I mean, heck, I was in a hotel room for 7 days quarantining just to work 3.
Really?
You know? Where's it shot?
I was shot all around Boston, just all over Boston. And Boston basically was like New York. You know, the great thing about Boston is you could shoot everything. I mean, if you need to make it look like Detroit, you can go to parks. If you need to make it look like rural Pennsylvania, you can, you know, go to Western Mass. You know, Massachusetts, Boston, you could shoot everything. So they shot it there. Yeah, I mean, and the COVID regulations were tight. I mean, you had the mask on, the thing, and they'd say, okay, get ready for action. Then you'd have an assistant come over, and they're like in a bubble, and they take all the stuff off you. You say your line, they put the stuff back on. Wow. But it's a fun movie. It was a fun movie.
It was a good movie to watch, too. It was very unique.
He has a message. He has a message. Yeah. That's his thing. It's about the environment. It's pro-environment, and Adam's very big on that. Yeah, but I think that we can – so go see Don't Look Up. Bob will watch it.
I'll go get it.
And I thought Jonah Hill was phenomenal.
Oh, my God. So good. The last scene cracked
hilarious. I mean, great. I mean, that's just so Adam McKay.
I'm going to go spoiler alert here now.
No. I know, but we're not. But
we won't. No. I'm not telling you anything.
There's a comet headed to Earth that's going to destroy Earth.
Oh, I know the premise of the movie. Right. I'm very well aware of the premise.
But we got to get Adam on to talk about this Laker. Okay. Just to talk about the Laker thing. And he'll love, I mean, he knows who both you guys are. He worships you guys. He watches you. It's like, I know this guy's an Academy Award winning director and screenwriter, and he wants to be with you two.
This calls to mind the Lakers thing, you know, the Nicholson and the time he was filming the movie in Albany and during the playoffs, and he had them send him videotapes overnight. And I hope Nicholson's a part of the documentary.
Oh yeah, I don't know who the actor is, but somebody's playing Jack.
Okay.
I mean, Adrian Brody is playing Pat Riley. the kid from Boston. Oh shoot, I just forgot his name, was playing Westhead. Anyways.
Okay.
They got a whole slew of guys.
Got me psyched up on this one already. Yeah.
Oh no, you gotta look it up on IMDb.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of people on there that, you know, you see like that you recognize. I mean, they even get somebody playing Johnny Most. They got somebody playing Larry Bird. I mean, good luck.
Do they have anybody playing Bob Ryan?
They don't, which surprised me.
No. Disappointing. Very disappointing.
That's what I see. I mean, you could get the real Bob Ryan.
You could have got the real Bob.
All right, go see Don't Look Up. Bob's going to watch it, and then stay tuned to this Zoom podcast because we are going to book at it. We'll try to book Adam McKay to talk about that Lakers series coming up. Which obviously the Celtics have a bit. Michael Chiklis plays Red Auerbach. That I know.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All right, guys. See ya.